place where I worship is the wide open spaces. And he has given it to you and me for all the world.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA, hands-on community radio for Greene and Columbia counties and beyond.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah, I guess so. I don't know about that.
We have 18 known listeners. Sometimes it's more than that.
Ellen, I just got word from the ratings group that we are the number one rated show on this station.
Who said?
Well, I kind of made that up.
We are the number one. You mean we get more listeners than anyone else?
Yeah, that's all it could mean, right?
Well, they're driving around in their cars.
That's why it's good to be on the drive time slot.
Going to work, coming home.
Yeah.
You know, I listen to WGXC in the morning. I listen to Democracy Now.
Yeah.
And then I listen to Lincoln Mayorga.
Oh, yeah.
And then I just, you know, when I'm in the car, like you said, I just flip the channels now and then, and it's amazing, you know.
Yeah. It is. And keep us going here, folks. You know, we're making a new kind of constant request that you become sustaining members, because it makes it a lot, or supporting members. It makes it a lot easier, and will take the pressure of all these pledge drives we have to do. So if you can, as low as I went on the site, Ellen, because I'm going to, instead of giving each pledge drive, I'm going to do like you're doing, give monthly.
Well, you know, it's kind of painless.
It's totally painless.
It works through your credit card.
Right.
You have a chance at any time to change the amount you're giving every month, I believe.
Right. And it's as low as $5 a month. I mean, who can't afford that these days? It's a cup of coffee if you go to these fancy coffee places.
WGXC 90.7 FM
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Wendy Schmaltz of Claverick, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Like a fire hydrant, like a public drinking fountain, like a park bench, WGXC is always there for you, at your service. 90.7 FM, Community Radio.
There's too many of you to cry. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you die. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah.
Welcome to All Exits Closed. I'm Cynthia Poor. And my guest today is Dean Decker. Dean is in the state of Texas, and him and I are going to have a conversation about the importance of community radio. So, Dean, it's a pleasure to talk to you. How long have you been involved in radio?
Well, thank you for the invitation, and this coming October will make 20 years I've been doing this.
Wow. Has it always been community radio, or were you on the mainstream media at all?
Well, I prior to my time with Pacifica, I was a liaison with the New York Times. They have twenty-something years ago had a drug policy forum, and I was the liaison there to bring on guests like Milton Friedman and then Governor Gary Johnson and many others. But that was my prior public exposure, if you will.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. So, you had mentioned to me that you talk about the drug war. Can you give us a little background of what you talk about?
Well, I look at it like this. You know, I'm an old guy. I'm 72 years old. I've witnessed this drug war unfold for my whole life. And I, 20-something years ago, about the time I turned the age of 50, I ascertained that there was no benefit to it, that there was no good that was coming from it, that we were ruining the futures and of, millions of families every year, taking away their ability to earn an income or just be respected within their community. And at the same time, we were empowering terrorists. If they were brave enough to grow flowers on some distant mountainside, we're enriching these barbarous cartels south of our border that butcher tens of thousands of people every year. And we're giving reason for existence to these violent gangs that prowl our neighborhoods, enticing our children to lives of crime or addiction. And I just set to work trying to expose the stupidity of the whole process, that drug prohibition is stupid, evil, and at its heart, it's racist. And that's what drives me.
So how long have you been talking about this issue on the radio?
Oh, 20 years. I have more than 8,300 radio programs and segments that have been issued over the years. Let me inform your listeners a bit. I produce a half-hour show each week called Cultural Baggage. My associate, Doug McVeigh, produces another half-hour for the Drug Truth Network called Century of Lies. And then each week I produce seven three-minute segments we call the 420 Drug War News. A lot of stations drop them in during another news segment or as bumpers or other ways. But more than 60 stations, U.S. and Canada, carry my shows every week.
So what has the response been as you've been doing your shows?
Well, let me back up to the very beginning. My very first week on air, I had finished the show. I came home. I didn't know who was going to kick in the doors, the cops or the cartels. Well, 20 years later, no one's kicked in the door. But at that time, I was the only person doing such a program on this planet. About 3 weeks in, I went on the Internet just to see if anybody had made any, notice of what I was doing. And I found that there were already five stations. Five stations had already picked up my show and were carrying it without even asking me. And that eventually we got up to about 125 stations because people wanted that drug war news. They were afraid to produce it in their own city for that same fear of who would kick in the door if they were dare to speak this truth. And I'm pleased that over the years, about half of them now produce their own drug war news. But at the time, it was a real sticky wicket to try to get into. But as you're well aware now, most folks are beginning to realize the failure and futility of this drug war. They may not know what to do about it, but they're at least aware of its failure.
Let's talk about the message a little bit. How long have you been on the Pacifica Network?
Well, it started on the same day I 20 years ago. It'll be October. We'll make 20 years. And I am a one-trick pony. I try to be, in fact, I am the world's leading expert on this drug reform. I've traveled the world. I've done, thousands of interviews. I've interviewed more than 1,000 individual guests, everyone ranging from the drug czar of Portugal, who I consider to be a friend, to, let's say, the coroner of Vancouver, British Columbia. I try to run the gamut insofar as whose expertise I put on the air, and I am proud of what we've done over the years.
So, people might not be aware of the Pacifica Network or community radio. Would you say a majority of people who listen to radio get their information from the mainstream press?
Boy, I think we do have a problem that too many people are Well, I don't know. I don't know how old you are, but I know that when I was young, we had Walter Cronkite. We had newscasters. We had people who were real newsmen. Now we have people who are corporate shills for the most part. Even the local news here in Houston is just blather and frivolous societal focus on, you know, things that really shouldn't matter to the average Joe and Jolene out here. And I guess what I'm saying is Pacifica is at the heart of the anti-modern news. We want to expose the fraud, the misdirection, the liars, the those who would distort and deceive. We want to expose those folks, and that's what we do. We're a good counterbalance, and you know, the public would do well to support us, to keep us on the air, to keep us on their heels of these bad politicians.
So how does that differ from, let's say, Amy Goodman?
Well, Amy is Pacifica. I'm not sure I follow you.
Oh, okay. Okay. I didn't know she was on Pacifica. I wasn't aware of that. So that's good. So Pacifica's coast to coast, right?
Yes, coast to coast and up into Canada, down into Mexico in a couple of cases.
Oh, I didn't realize either it was that you know, large of an area. So would you say that the majority of people are really not aware of Pacifica? Pacifica is really kind of left of center message, right?
Well, I guess you could say that, but let's define the center, if you will, because you know, for too long, the news has had a rightward slant, if you will.
Right.
And there is now, especially with the election of Joe Biden, there is a reawakening of the left side's ability to have focus, because I guess they were always there, but they were diminished by the tsunami of red-hatted right-wing, you know, propaganda that had been smeared on us for the last 4 years. And that's changing now, thank goodness. It tends to go in swings from, you know, one side to the other. But I do believe there are, I don't know, sufficient folks with the attitude that we, there is a better way, and that we need to be more compassionate, more willing to protect the lives, the future, the votes, the livelihoods of our fellow men. We've become rather stingy and just uncaring of the needs of others. And I hope we're changing that equation.
Well, I certainly hope so. So you've been doing this for 20 years, and you feel strongly about this.
Have go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, no, I do feel strongly. I think I prove that with every sentence that comes out of my mouth, because, again, I have had the opportunity to invest, I don't know, 40,000, 50,000 hours investigating this one subject, to talk to the top echelon in every category that I can think of. And I feel quite proud that the knowledge that I carry within me, that I've gleaned from these, thousands of interviews, has enabled me to stand tall, to be ready to debate this subject with anybody, from the federal government to the head of the UN. There is no legitimacy to the drug war. I can prove it. I can drive them off the stage in less than 5 minutes. But then again, they never want me on that stage with them.
Well, so for people who are listening who have a passion for anything socially relevant, know how to get their message out, what would you tell them?
Well, I'll just say this. My email is Dean, DEAN, at drugtruth, www.pacificaradio.net. And I invite people to give me ideas on stories or to be guests if they have a whole scenario they want to present. Because I am not, I don't know, what do you want to call it, celebrity-oriented or, you know, I want people's stories. And I've interviewed hundreds of prisoners, patient providers, marijuana growers, people who've been busted for heroin, cocaine, you name it. I have no qualms. I don't think drug users are demons or evil or you know, something to be feared. They need to be pretty much left alone and respected, unless they're doing harm to themselves or anybody else. It's nobody's business.
I did a Zoom call last night with a local community radio station here in the Capital District of New York State. And one of the people that was talking was saying that community radio is a good vehicle to organize to get more unionization and to fight big business who are trying to bust the unions. Would you agree?
Oh, I certainly do. I've got to just jump right on that, because that's the heart of it all, is that we have been deceived repeatedly, decade after decade, by those corporate, quote, masters, excuse me for using that word, but those folks who lie to us and, you know, make their money off our backs, off the work we do. This disparity between CEO pay and average worker pay has just grown exponentially over the last 20 or 40 years to where it's absolutely ridiculous. And unions were the means whereby in prior decades, you know, an average family could have the man working and make enough money to pay the bills. The wife could tend to the children, et cetera, and no need for her to have a job or the man to have a second job. But these corporate, I'm not going to say leaders, but these people at the top of their chain, they really don't care. They don't care whether it's American workers making their products or foreign workers. They want the money. They want the profits. They want the most profits. And they really don't care about American lives and the future of their fellow citizens. And through the unions, we had power. We had more money. We had the means to get more money. We were able to negotiate higher pay raises, et cetera, et cetera. And those numbers, those abilities are diminishing daily. And we need to stand for people and quit believing the BS that comes out of these corporate offices.
You know, I started out doing content, and now I'm on community radio. Would you say that podcasting and community radio is the wave of the future? If so, will there be much of a pushback from the mainstream media?
Well, I do know this. My home station here in Houston, KPFT, we have another channel, a podcast channel, where a lot of folks come in and cut their teeth, so to speak, where they produce a lot of podcasts and, you know, develop an audience, et cetera. And, you know, in many cases, when an opening occurs, they're allowed to move on to the actual broadcast stream. And it is worthwhile, yes, if that's what you're asking. It is a means to fine-tune what you're up to get better at your mission, and then to make that jump into broadcasting. I highly recommend it. I wish every station had that second channel where folks could learn to do the podcast and to improve their capability.
Do a lot of stations have that?
Oh, I think many do these days, yes. I think I don't have a real, you know, data set, but I think a lot of them do, yes.
You know, putting the TV on and learning, listening to the radio, how many people are aware of, I know people know about Amy Goodman, and there's been a consolidation of radio stations on the right. People are aware that there's community radio and Pacifica for regular folks to get their voice heard. Is it
right.
A lot of people or no?
Are you asking, I don't know, are there a lot of openings? Maybe is there vacancies open?
No, it's are not. Are there a lot of people who are aware of the possibility they could speak about their passions on community radio?
Well, I think most folks are unaware that they have that opportunity, that if you have an important issue and some information that's not being reported elsewhere on the corporate media, that Pacifica mm-hmm. will listen. They will listen. And there's a, you know, if it's strong enough or positive enough or important enough, you will get an audience on Pacifica.
Wow. So you're happy with your position?
Well, I'll put it this way. I am the world's leading expert on ending this damn drug war. And the fact that corporate mm-hmm. media doesn't pay me any attention, when it comes time to, in my city of Houston, when they're talking about a drug bust or a situation involving, I don't know, drugs or cops or whatever, they don't come to me. They go to the local, you know, guy just got elected head of Normal or something. They don't want my opinions because, there is no legitimacy to the drug war. I start right there. And they don't want to hear that because they've got a newspaper, they've got to post their story and a picture of the cops standing around a table with guns and drugs and money and a big smile like they just did something. Or the same on TV. They glorify the drug war. And it was the media back, you know, right at 100 years ago that started glorifying prohibition. That it was so necessary, that the proclivities of some people would demand that we do this to save their lives. But, you know, drugs are deadlier than ever before. The overdose rates are higher than ever before. You know, they were supposed to stop the snake oil salesmen. But what they did was set loose a million snake oil salesmen. There's never been any legitimacy to it. And so for me, it's easy pickings. And I just know that my goal, my ambition, is through these thousands of radio shows to motivate the populace to speak up, to tell the politicians, we know it's bull. Why don't you do something about it? Or maybe I'll vote for your opponent, because that's the only way we're going to change this. The politicians know it's a fraud, but they can't change. They've made their bones through this policy. And so did the media, the major media. It's hard for them to back down. That's why I do what I do, because it's easy for me to say the truth. And Pacifica, you know, makes it possible. And I'm so happy for that.
So over the years, how much of an impact do you feel that you have had on the populace of this country? And you said Canada and Mexico. How much of an impact have you personally have?
Well, I can say this, that I get feedback from around the country, from into Canada, you know, people saying that was a great show, or, you know, a particularly good moment here or there. But I guess what I would say is that in general, I don't have thousands of emails. You know, in that regard, I probably get a handful each week. It's not not a, a whole flood. But I guess what I'm saying is I have changed the mindset, not just here in Houston or in Texas or in America, but around the world. The Drug Czar of Portugal thanks me for my work. The head of the Global Commission on Drugs, former president of Switzerland, she calls me a hero for the work I do. So the work I do is known. It is not often, I don't know, they may not know it's Dean Becker and the Drug Truth Network, but they know that this, these words are flowing, are changing. And the best I can tell you is when I began doing radio 20 years ago, I told you that first night, who was going to kick in the door, the cops or the cartels? Well, back then I used to open my show with this phrase, broadcasting from the gulag filling station of planet Earth. This is cultural baggage. And because at that time, 20 years ago, my city of Houston was the world's leading jailer. Every night, every day, we would arrest 200 to 300 people on drug charges. We would fill the county jail. They would be sleeping under the bunks in the hallways. And then the next morning, buses would arrive. They would load up a couple of hundred inmates and ship them to a jail in Louisiana or some small podunk town here in Texas because they were just too full. And through my work with the various district attorneys over the years, the sheriffs, the police chiefs, the current set of law enforcement officials here, especially my district attorney, Kim Hoggs, are opponents of the drug war, boldly, openly speak of its insanity and its failure. And that is because I have slowly, carefully opened that door of discussion. If A is true, if B is true, if C, then C must be true. And it was December of 2014 when the dam really broke. I was speaking to then Police Chief Charles McClellan, and he said, you know, Dean, you're absolutely right. The drug war is a miserable failure. And that night, NBC carried it. That radio segment carried the audio and a picture of the chief saying that, and all agreed with him. Fox News carried it, had a whole panel show about it. You know, he's right. And the dam broke. And since that day, it has changed greatly here in Houston. The current DA no longer, even though the state law still would allow it or halfway demand it, she no longer arrests anybody for under 4 ounces of marijuana. She no longer busts anybody for those tiny corner baggies of coke or whatever was left when they threw it on the floorboard. She wants to walk away from this drug war, and that is in large part from my a result of my work.
So you must feel awfully proud of the fact that in your own way you've changed society.
So I am. I am. And again, I stand ever ready to, I'd love to be on Fox. I'd love to be on CNN or NBC, any of them, in an open public discussion. What is the benefit of drug war? Let's talk about that. And no one wants to talk about that because there is no real benefit of drug war, unless it's to the cartels or the urine testers or the, you know, the prison builders. But to you or me or our kids or our neighborhoods, there's no benefit. There is none. It's a hope, a dream that some magical day no one will ever do drugs again. And that's a pipe dream right there.
So, I don't think you're going to get an invitation to Rachel Maddow or anybody on CNN anytime soon. Would you agree?
Yeah. Well, because, look, I think Rachel probably gets it. I think, as I said, most politicians get it. They don't know what to do. They feel boxed in, you know, some quandary. They don't know what in the heck should be done. But it's easy. Return it to the way it was before Prohibition. Allow adults to do whatever the hell they want to do and then judge their actions, not the contents of their pocket or their urine or their bloodstream. You know, it's America, land of the free, you know, not land of the suspect. And that's what we... Go ahead.
We just have like a minute left. So can you give your email address, or if you have a website, or contact information for people who are listening to this, can contact you.
Well, I thank you for that. And again, it's always an honor to share my thoughts over the radio, and I appreciate you giving me this chance. And I am Dean, D-E-A-N, at DrugTruth, D-R-U-G-T-R-U-T-H, .net, Drug Truth Network. My website is drugtruth.net. As I said earlier, more than 8,300 radio shows are available. Links there to my YouTube video series. And at the top of my page, there is a link to the one video I produced late last year called Claiming the Moral High Ground. And it features 19 interviews with the drug czar, heads of the Global Commission on Drugs, state senators, head of law enforcement against prohibition, many other groups and individuals, ripping the heart out of this belief in drug war. And folks, there is nobody willing to defend the drug war in an open public venue, and you need to make sure that they have to end their ugly belief that this is going to be beneficial.
Dean, it was a pleasure to talk to you. You've been listening to Dean Dissel. I'm Cynthia Poehler. This is All Exits Closed. If you like this show, follow us on Twitter. Thanks, Dean. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.
I'm announcing that I will direct all states, tribes, and territories to make all adults, people 18 and over, eligible to be vaccinated no later than May 1. Let me say that again. All adult Americans will be eligible to get a vaccine no later than May 1. That's much earlier than expected. Let me be clear. That doesn't mean everyone's going to have that shot immediately, but it means you'll be able to get in line beginning May 1. Every adult will be eligible to get their shot. And to do this, we're going to go from 1 million shots a day that I promised in December, before I was sworn in, to maintaining, beating our current pace of 2 million shots a day.
Well, hey, it's me. I'm finally going to get my vaccine. I'm so excited. I've been waiting a while. I'm old enough to get it, and I'm smart enough to get it. So I'm very happy that I'm going to get my Moderna shot today. And I wanted to tell everybody, I think you should get out there and do it too. I even changed one of my songs to fit the occasion. It goes, vaccine, 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 vaccine. I'm begging of you, please don't hesitate. Vaccine, 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 vaccine. Because once you're dead, then that's a bit too late. I know I'm trying to be funny now, but I'm dead serious about the vaccine. I think we all want to get back to normal, whatever that is, and that would be a great shot in the arm, wouldn't it, if we could get back to that. But anyhow, I just wanted to encourage everybody, because the sooner we get to feeling better, the sooner we are going to get back to being normal. So I just want to say to all of you cowards out there, don't be such a chicken squat. Get out there and get shot.
Never encouraged Americans to get vaccinated.
Trump promoted the shots, not whine about getting credit. Like when he got his prick, no mention he was getting it. Please take this remedy, make COVID a memory. And when it's time, get vaccinated. Please don't decline. Get your shot and we can get concerts and sports events. The summer could be so nice.
Please just get your vaccine. We're so close to our dream. Put an end to this quarantine.
Really want an indoor time.
Thank you, quote.
Definitely no surprise. Anti-vaxxers are spreading lies.
Damn it, why?
The administration would like you to take this vaccine. Joe Biden told you last week, if you don't, you can't celebrate the 4th of July.
With so much hesitation, we'll never get out of this mess. Screwing the nation, of course it's the Republicans. Voters all said Biden, now thank God we've got Biden. And now, incidentally, the cases have declined. Vaccines, a miracle from science. Need everyone's compliance. A shot or two will suffice.
Just get your vaccine. We're so close to our dream. Put an end to this quarantine.
Guarantee that you'll be fine.
These are safe and effective products.
Here are the teens from Clubhouse Radio talking about whether or not to get a vaccine for COVID-19.
I'm DJ Ricky, and I'm here with
DJ Popcorn,
DJ Sean Money,
and Phoebs. What's up, y'all?
Mm-hmm. So for our first segment, we're gonna be talking about COVID, right?
Yeah.
What you doing? So first off, I'm gonna just have y'all explain your opinion. Like, what's y'all opinions on COVID? Like, how do you feel about it?
I've got some fear that, yeah, like, it feels like a really dangerous time to me right now about COVID, honestly, because everyone's like, vaccines are coming, the end is near, let's go back to normal. But there's a whole bunch of stuff that's still really dangerous. So it's, that makes me nervous, you know?
Yeah, because I don't know if you guys know what the Spanish flu was, but it was like this thing, and it was very, like, it was kind of like COVID, like, it was like quarantining some people and stuff, and they thought that it had ended, right? And everybody went out and started celebrating and had a parade, right? Like a huge parade with like 250,000 people, like a great, like a gigantic parade. And then they got hit with the second wave of the flu.
That's tough.
Before they even like finished, you know, celebrating, hit with it again. And it was worse the second time, of course. So, that's like mm-hmm. a big concern when it comes to COVID, about celebrating too early and then having it, you know, come back even worse with like a vengeance, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I got a question for y'all.
Hey, what's up?
What's your prediction? Like, do you think that like COVID will, like, I feel like COVID obviously will go away eventually, but I mean, like, if you had to like guess like an estimate, like what year would you say?
I'm saying
like we would have to stop wearing masks and stuff.
Oh well, I mean, some people still don't be wearing masks. So
I mean, like, me, what would you like? I mean, like, kind of like back to normal type.
Back to normal. I don't think it's gonna ever go
or
back.
Like a normal yeah. adjustment to like
okay.
Not normal, but like
the new normal.
Yeah.
Probably around
2024, 2025. That's my 2024, 2025. Wow. What about you?
I just feel like I don't think we'll hit any type of normal by any time soon. So I like what Lincoln was saying. 2024, probably by the time I graduate, I'll probably be
2024. Yeah,
I'll probably have
by the time you graduate.
But I just don't think that they'll want to like play around with things too much, where we won't have the opportunity to not wear a mask. Like, I'm gonna wear one regardless,
yeah.
And I know that's how mm-hmm. it has to be.
Okay.
So yeah.
Now, Fee, what about you?
Yeah, what about mm-hmm. you?
That makes sense to me. I think it's like COVID will never go away. It's a virus that lives on our earth now. You know, the thing's been released. It's like the flu, right? Like, you know, it's just we gotten used to how to live with the flu. And I feel like what makes 2024 make sense, right? Because you got a couple years of getting like more and more sort of vaccination happening. The thing about vaccines is like, it's not just about us. It's about the whole earth, right? Like all the people, because this thing came from other countries, right? At some point, like we travel internationally. So I think that's a good estimate to think about when we would actually get to the point where there's like enough immunity from vaccination and that like it would feel okay to take your mask off. I'm gonna be wearing my mask for a long time.
I'll wear my
mask at y'all's high school graduation.
No, y'all, I'm not gonna hold y'all. I feel like in like what did you say, like 2024, like around that time we should probably like, I feel like around that time we should probably like have like more high tech mask.
We'll probably be on like the iPhone 36 by then.
Something like that. But I mean, like, I feel like we should like
iPhone 36 comes with its own mask and stuff.
Imagine
right, like iPhone
Apple
like,
mask.
Right.
Yo, but
like
probably
AirPods 14, like.
Like, comes with a bundle of AirPod Pros. You haven't heard those in a while, folks. We're bringing them back. Like,
just imagine a mask that your AirPods can attach to on the, like, the strings.
That'd be valid. But, I remember what I was trying to say. Because I forgot what I was trying to say, so. I said that. But what I was trying to say is, about the COVID vaccine shot, right? Mm-hmm. So, we have a shot for, I guess you could say, quote unquote, basically everything, I guess.
Almost everything.
Almost everything. But we don't. And like, me personally,
there's just certain things.
Yeah,
there.
Right. Like me personally, I wouldn't take it.
Yeah, that's beyond our research right now.
People that take it,
from what I've heard, it's safe.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
nah, because a bunch of my teachers are taking it, and
right?
They came back to school teaching all that.
And I'm like, whoa, and like it low-key kind of makes me feel very uncomfortable. Because, like, look, think of it. If it's a vaccine, right? A vaccine has the virus in it to prevent your
immunity. Well, the virus is dead, though.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
but think about it. We do that, too. We do have our, like, our yearly flu shots every time we have to go back to school.
Yeah, but then you got to think. There are some people that just don't take flu shots. And they're perfectly fine.
They don't get vaccinated.
Yeah, because they got strong immune systems. Flu shots aren't—they're not mandatory. They're not mandatory.
Yeah, right. Okay, like respectfully, COVID. y'all take your flu shots respectfully.
Yeah.
If y'all don't mind me asking.
Yeah, I have to. I have to.
I mean, I think one of the things to think about is the relative risk, maybe for yourself, with taking a vaccine.
And on top of that, you also got to.
There might be there might be somebody who's like, it's really hard for me to take a vaccine. I got other issues going on. I don't want to take that. If like 8 other people take it, they're probably still going to be fairly safe out in the world. Not quite as safe as those other people. But like, hey, you should have the choice. I think you should have the choice to be like, a vaccine's not for me, but like, that means I know I got to like really make myself extra safe different ways. Right? You can't expect everyone necessarily to keep doing the same practices.
But I mean,
I want to hear your point though about like, it's sort of like for everything.
So
like this need to do a vaccine.
From what I think of, since you got to think like take in perspective people's like living environments. Like you could live with someone that's like extremely old, has a bad immune system. Like me personally, I don't take the flu virus or I don't take the oh my god, it's on the tip of my tongue. I don't take the flu shot, and because I know how my body reacts. Because like, bro, you gotta think of it. Like, if you have something like a medical thing, and let's say you take the flu shot, right? Think of all the years you've gotten sick, right? And how bad it's been. Even though it's a dead, like, vaccine or shot, whatever, you still get sick off of it.
So the reason you're getting sick is because...
So that your immune system can get stronger.
Yeah.
Right.
But I mean, like...
It teaches your immune system how to fight it off.
But then, like, you have a double-edged sword, right? If you take it, you get sick, right, for a short amount of time. But on the other hand... But on the other hand, your body gets stronger from it. Now, the reason why I say it's a double-edged sword, right, is because you get sick, right? And think of it. You don't know how bad you're going to... Like, mind you, it could just be, like, a simple cough or sneeze or anything like that. But then there are some people that are, like, have, like, it down bad. Like, the reason why I don't take the flu shot is because I know how my body is, like I was saying earlier. And, like, with me, I have very bad... Like, when I get sick, I barely ever get sick. My immune system, I barely ever get sick, right? So, when I do take the flu shot... I took the flu shot once this year. It was accidental. And I didn't know I wasn't supposed to take it because my mom... he was like, you want to take the flu shot just so you don't got to come back? And I didn't know. So, I was like, yeah, sure. And the flu shot kicked me, bro. And that junk went hard. I mean, it was terrible.
Like, for me, with the flu shot, I know that when I take it, like, it's something that I have to take personally. Like, my parents make me take it. If I had the choice, I would still take it.
Really?
For the simple fact that my body does react a certain way to it. Like, when I get certain shots like that, like, my arm and stuff will swell up. Like, I won't feel so good for, like, a few hours maybe, but then I'll be fine. But it's not like I'll be greatly affected by it. Like, my immune system, like, learns over time, you know, oh, okay, this is good for me. Like, I can fight this off, and then, you know what I'm saying, I'll be good for the rest of the day.
Okay.
But that's really, like, the only downside to the flu shot for me. And other shots in general. My arm just swells up, like, when I get shots.
Okay.
But no matter which arm it's on. But
so if it's like that with the flu shot.
Bro, when you were saying okay, I'm not gonna lie, I was trying to hold them while I laugh because that was hilarious.
What?
Like, whenever Bubba was saying something, he's like, okay. No,
no, you're gonna low-key laugh, right? But, okay, so if it's like that with the flu shot, what about the COVID vaccine? So you would take the COVID vaccine?
Okay, so with the COVID vaccine, I'm on edge. I would not, I wouldn't take it for the simple fact that, like, the things that I've heard about it, everything that I've seen. But when people are saying that, I've seen people that are, that I know people that have taken that are fine, they, like, show that people know, like, that the recently launched vaccines are doing what they're supposed to, you know, which is supposed to fight off the virus or, you know, prevent it in some type of way and reduce the effects of the virus if you've already had it.
Then what's the difference between the COVID vaccine shot and the flu shot?
See...
Because, like you said,
in some ways,
you
it's
kind of
a similar conversation. Yeah,
it's
an appropriate comparison, I think. Like,
you know, but it's just,
it's a slightly different type of vaccine.
Right,
it's a newer thing.
Yeah,
but like
it just came out.
Like, about it,
and it's just what I've heard about the vaccine is why I'm so on edge about that. But I'd gladly take the flu shot. But the COVID vaccine is something that I'm kind of on edge about. But I'll have to learn more about it.
How come so many people are scared to take the COVID vaccine, but they're not afraid to take the flu vaccine?
I'm not going to hold you. I don't like taking shots.
Because the flu shot is something that's been around for years now. And we've had time to experiment the flu shot, and people have gone through it already. The COVID vaccine is something that's now been recently launched.
So think about years from now when, like our kids or, like, our great-grandkids, whatever, having this conversation, and, like, it's going to be a time where the new shot comes out for them. Talking about, we've had a COVID vaccine for years now. That's already been tested. Like,
I feel like at a point it may or may not become a normality.
Think so?
And I think the idea, like, you need to get a booster every year, like a flu shot will be normal, too. And the thing that'll do, just like the flu shot, is, and this is the beginning of this conversation, is about the fact that the virus keeps mutating, right, over time.
Yeah, it keeps getting worse.
So the flu virus does the same thing. And what happens every year is a bunch of doctors get together. They look at the research to say which strain of the flu or which 10 strains of the flu seem most common. And then they make the vaccine specifically designed to target those strains. And that's what everybody gets those years. So there might be a strain that's not covered, but it's pretty rare. And that's how they cut down. People do die from the flu every year, right?
Really?
People may still die from COVID every year. Yeah. Oh, yeah, like 100,000 people die from the flu every year, right?
Oh my God,
so there is a point, sadly, where normal is sort of a baseline that people do get sick and die. And I think, you know, the important things for me, I know we're coming to the end of this segment, but a couple things for me that I want people to remember about this vaccine. What it does is it has really positive results keeping people from ending up who get the virus having to go to the hospital or dying, right?
Yeah.
It helps protect against really extreme responses. What it does not protect against is you being an asymptomatic carrier, right? Mm-hmm. That's why the masks are still super important, even if you're somebody who's been vaccinated. You have to keep wearing your mask because you could still get your loved ones sick who aren't vaccinated, other people
That's
sick.
That's so true.
Yeah, and
it's still the same. It's not like it'll forever protect you from the virus. Like, you're immune. Like, you can
right, and that's the other thing, too. If the virus, the other thing about COVID that I don't think people are talking enough about is about 20 to 30% of people who get COVID have what's called long hauler syndrome.
What's that?
Where they have, it's kind of like low-key, like, weakened immune system and fatigue for months and months and months. Like, fatigue, hard to get out of bed, short of breath, headaches.
God.
And so this is another thing about this that doesn't get caught in the data because it's not as exciting, I guess, as shocking to people as the death statistics. But for the 500,000 people that have died, many, many more times that have also gotten this kind of long hauler syndrome. So I just want people to know that, like, it does matter. Like, people do get, like, it's not just about only 1% of people go to the hospital.
Yeah.
30% of people, right, might get this other side effect. So the mask wearing is super important. The vaccine will definitely save a lot of our loved ones, and that's awesome, but it's not a silver bullet, right? Like, we still got to take other safety
Could you maybe at some point just, like, curse or say something completely Looney Tunes or offensive? The other guy used to do that, and it just made this whole thing a little funnier. I'm just trying to work with you here.
We're live in 3, 2...
Welcome back. I'm joined now by a man some people believe is the President of the United States, Joseph Robinette Biden. Robinette?
Yes.
Don't even have to write a joke about that. Joe, can I call you Joe?
No.
Girl, we have a lot to talk about.
A lot to talk about.
As the coronavirus continues to wreak havoc, Americans are getting restless and frustrated, if you know what I mean.
One of the disappointments when we came into office is the circumstance relating to how the administration was handling COVID was even more dire than we thought. We thought they indicated there was a lot more vaccine available. And it didn't turn out to be the case.
Because we're doing so much testing.
Huh? Oh, excuse me. I think I must have fallen a...
You don't ask Biden tough questions.
I'm sorry. You know, I'm still having flashbacks. Sometimes he visits me in my dreams.
So we're pushing as hard as we can to get more vaccine manufactured.
You now say we'll have enough supply for every adult to be vaccinated by May. Does this mean I can go to Cancun for spring break with Ted Cruz and the gals?
Well, I didn't say that.
Mr. Biden.
magic Pfizer or Moderna. Biden, give me a poke. They call you sleepy, but you're pretty woke. I'm so tired of quarantine. Mr. Biden, bring my vaccine. Please bring me
Oh, won't you stay? Blue, I'm numb. My hat.
I resume.
Oh, wow. I see.
Love you.
Please. Mr. Biden.
Yes.
Bring my vaccine. I want a trick or treat when we hit Halloween. Give me that double dose and make me go out cheap. So I can plant a kiss on Dr. Fauci.
Yes.
Oh,
hey.
Damn.
Hey.
You got it?
11:30 this morning, I went and took the shot.
Hey. Which one did you get?
I got the Moderna.
Congratulations, okay. Family.
Yes, I went this morning. And, I went. And you know what? I think talking to you guys really changed my mind, talking to Slay. And, you know, with Slay having the baby and he keep mentioning him getting the shot, ain't no way he going to let me around the baby if I don't have the shot. So I'm like, well, damn, you know, and then Eddie got the shot. But then I started thinking because I had a conversation with Lynn and it was a short conversation with Lynn and Tom of the radio. And they were like, hey, do you guys want to come back into the studio to do your show? And I was like, well, right now we're good with the Zoom. But maybe one day we might want to come back in. And then Tom said, well, yeah, okay. As long as you guys can just show your vaccination cards, we're good. Whoa. And I was like, oh, damn. I got to get a shot to do free radio? I said, and then, you know, I went on to Columbia County Health Department. I got lucky and I went in and it was really cool. I will tell people that's listening in our area, man, this was so cool, so fast. So I got the appointment yesterday. I signed up. It was for 11:30. Obviously, I arrived early. I went through the check-in process. They took your fever and then they do them in 15s. So they send 15 people in at one time. And once you get inside, they just give you a little education. You put your name on a card and they basically ask you, you know, are you allergic to anything? They tell you exactly what's going to happen and they move you off to another station. When you get to that second station, it's the shot. The shot takes a half a second and it feels like nothing. And then after that, you go into an observation section. And depending on if you had any allergies or anything like that, if you had allergies or anything like that, you might have to stay for 30 minutes. But if not, you only stay for 15. And in those 15 minutes, you make your next appointment for your second shot. So okay. It was really cool. I have no side effects right now. Like I said, I got it at 11:30. I feel great. The lady just told me to drink a lot of water. But I do recommend it only because I don't see them making it mandatory, but I see them making it. If you don't have it, you just can't do the same things that everybody do. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It definitely. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, yeah. just to tag team on your experience real quick. The way they did it for me was it was in my car. I never got out of my car. And we pulled up to the one station, gave them the paperwork, went to the next station. They reached in through the window, gave me a shot in the arm and just pulled up my sleeve. And then I had to go drive my